Okay, Alexander, we really need to talk about the conflict between Armenia and Azerbaijan. It has escalated quite rapidly. Of course, everyone knows that there have been tensions over the decades, actually, between Armenia and Azerbaijan. But over the weekend, things really got out of hand. And now we're looking at pretty much all out conflict, all out war. Martial law has been declared, I believe, on both sides, and I believe both sides have declared a war, military conflict in the region. I want to stress that they have declared that they're going to war in that region of Nagorno-Karabakh. That is a disputed region that they are fighting over. And on our second channel, I actually did a short report on some investigative reporting, actually, from other reporters, specifically the Greek City Times, Alexander, that had reported that I believe it was Friday, they got wind, Thursday, Friday, they got wind that Turkish President Erdogan was moving Syrian jihadists, Syrian militia from not only from southern Turkey, northern Syria, that they have kind of in that enclave that was used to try to overthrow Assad, but also from Libya. And he was moving those forces into Azerbaijan. And this was Friday. And so the report is something is about to break in Azerbaijan. And sure enough, on Sunday, we got the first indications of the escalation in fighting. So what is going on here? Erdogan is, I think is it is now confirmed he is actively involved in this theater of conflict. Very bad move. Russia now is also weighing in. Lavrov made some statements that he's calling on both sides to stand down and call a ceasefire. But also, it is worth noting, Alexander, that Armenia does have a defense pact with Russia, and they may call that in. And if they do call that in, then Azerbaijan, but more specifically, I believe Turkey is in big trouble. So what's going on here?
Yes, I mean, first of all, let's just quickly say, recap. This is a long-standing dispute going all the way back to the 1920s about this region in the Caucasus called Nagorno-Karabakh. It is entirely Armenian. The population is overwhelmingly Armenian. There used to be Azeri people there, but they've left, or they left after a short war that took place in the 1980s. It has functioned as a semi-independent region recognized by Armenia. Azerbaijan claims it, and it has been a constant a bone of contention between Azerbaijan and Armenia. On paper, Azerbaijan is a much richer country. It's got oil reserves and it's a major oil exporter. It has spent very, very heavily on weapons. But in practice, Armenia is much better organized. And whenever there's been a conflict between Azerbaijan and Armenia, it is the Armenians who tend to win. And from what I've understood in this present conflict at the moment, despite the fact that all the indications are that the Azerbaijanians initiated the latest hostilities on the encouragement of Erdogan in Turkey. Nonetheless, it seems that the Armenians are more than holding their own and are likely to perhaps, you know, achieve another tactical victory. Now, let's now focus on the politics of this. I mean, firstly, let's talk about the Armenian side. Armenia has lots of friends, many more actually than Azerbaijan does. I mean, Armenia has good friends in the United States who are, you know, speaking up for Armenia there. It's got a very strong and historic relationship with France, and the French apparently are now weighing in on Armenia's side too. But it also has a very, very strong and a connection to Russia. It is part of the Eurasian economic system, which Azerbaijan is not. It is a part of the Russian-led Collective Security Treaty Organization, which is a kind of you know, NATO light that the Russians run in the territory of the former Soviet Union. There is also a major military base, a Russian military base in Armenia. Russia and Armenia are politically and historically very close. If there is an all-out war between Azerbaijan and Armenia, and if the Armenians call on Russia for help, the Russians will come to their help. I think that point needs to be made clear right from the outset. If you've been following the information from the wire services and you've been looking at the Russian media, that is indisputably what is going to happen. Having said that, the Russians have historically sought to maintain good relations with Azerbaijan also, because they don't want Azerbaijan to drift into the American orbit. So they will try, to the extent that they can, to try and bring this conflict to an end, and they will try to achieve mediation. Now, the wild card is Erdogan. Azerbaijan would not have launched this attack without the support of Erdogan. I should explain that Azerbaijan and Turkey have very similar cultures. Azerbaijan is Shia and Turkey is Sunni, but in all other respects, the cultures are very similar and the languages are almost the same. I mean, they're easily able to understand each other. So Turkey has always had a close interest in Azerbaijan and has consistently sided with Azerbaijan against Armenia, which, for very important historic reasons, has always had difficult relations, obviously, not just with Azerbaijan, but also with Turkey. So Turkey has immense influence in Azerbaijan. Why then is Erdogan, at this moment in time, stirring things up in this way? And I don't think there's any doubt that he is the person behind this. He made very inflammatory statements supporting Azerbaijan in this conflict. And there is, I think, now confirmed reports, including confirmation from Syrian jihadi leaders, that the Turks are now redirecting their jihadi foreign legion, which is essentially what it's now become, from Libya and Syria into Azerbaijan to fight the Armenians. And there's apparently about 4,000 men involved. So why is Erdogan doing this? Well, I think the reason is actually very simple. He's run up against a wall in Libya, where he's got the Egyptians against him. He's had to back off in the Eastern Mediterranean, where the Greeks put up a strong resistance and were able to get the support of the French, the Greeks and the Cypriots, and the French Navy was deployed. The economy in Turkey is in a very bad shape. And I think he feels he's lost face. He's looking for somewhere else where he can advance. He tried an advance in Iraq a short while ago. That didn't get very far. He's apparently having to give up ground in Syria. There's reports that the Turkish troops are being pushed a bit by the Russians in Idlib province. So I think he has hit out in the Caucasus against the Armenians. I think also, and you know, Erdogan is not a person who doesn't engage in calculations. I think partly Syria is the issue. As I said, he's been pushed by the Russians in Syria, in Idlib. So it could be that at some level, he thinks that if he triggers a war in the Caucasus, in Russia's backyard, that will give him some kind of leverage over the Russians, which he can use to get what he wants, both in the Eastern Mediterranean and especially in Syria. I think if that is what he does think, I think he has miscalculated badly. I don't think the Russians will ultimately let Armenia down. In fact, I think that is inconceivable. I think it is more likely than not that these kind of actions will simply infuriate and exasperate the Russians even more, and that the Russians will stiffen their support for Armenia over the next few days, unless the Azeris and the Turks do what they are telling them to do, which is to agree to mediation, which in effect means to back down.
All right. So a title from Zero Hedge, just going off your last point, says Turkish lira crashes to record low, hammered by Armenian Azeri war. So we have that. This is also affecting oil because there is a very a critical pipeline that crosses, that transverses that region as well. But Alexander, okay, France, Greece, they put a stop to, for now, and it looks like we are going to be heading into some sort of mediation there. They put a stop to Erdogan's plans in the East Med. Egypt, you know, he ran into a brick wall against Egypt in Libya, and so Sisi put a stop to him there. In Syria, he ran into the Russians, and they put a stop to his plans. In Syria, the Russians, they could have put the hammer down on him in Syria. They opted not to. I think they egged him on a little in the East Med because they wanted to kind of test the waters and see what was going on there, because obviously the Russians don't want to be left out of the East Med. So I think they were, this is just my opinion. I think they were egging, and when I mean egging him on, just kind of nudging him a little in order to kind of play a little bit of spoiler in the East Med, because the Russians probably felt they were getting pushed out. Now he's going to Armenia and he's stirring up trouble with Armenia. And, you know, I don't think that's a very good idea because, like you said, Armenia, you know, they know how to win. They just know how to win. And when is Russia, when is Putin, and when is Russia just going to just say, you know what, we've had enough of this joker? Because the whole world is sitting back, and I'm saying this from Greece, and everyone's sitting back, and they're going, Putin, when is enough enough? Because you have been propping up Erdogan now for the past 4 or 5 years, and he is just causing problem after problem after problem.
I think for the Russians, I'm going to say this, Syria is hugely important, but Armenia is much more important still. It is for the Russians an existential issue. I mean, Armenia and Russia are very, very close to each other, and Armenia is absolutely key to Russia's position in the Caucasus. So if there is any question of Armenia finding itself in trouble, the Russians will come to its rescue. Of that, I have absolutely no doubt whatsoever. And you mentioned Lavrov. Lavrov is partly Armenian. I mean, you know, there are many, many Armenians who are in Moscow, and there are many Armenians who are in the Russian leadership. I mean, these are two countries that have very, very intense and close relationships going back centuries. And Putin himself cares about Armenia. He's been there many times. So, you know, if Erdogan thinks he can push the Russians in Armenia, he's, I think, completely wrong about this. I think he has completely miscalculated that. I would add, by the way, that the timing is bizarre, because just the other, you know, just over the last week, the Russian military has been conducting massive exercises in the Caucasus. Putin was actually there with Shoigu, and all sorts of countries, other countries as well as Russia, the Russian military were involved in those exercises, one of which was China. The Chinese actually sent troops there too, and the Armenians participated. But the point is, all those Russian troops with all that equipment are still there, and they are ready to intervene at any time. So I don't think the Russians will want at the moment to bring down the hammer on Erdogan. I think that isn't what the Russians want to see happen, because I don't think they want a crisis in their relationship with Turkey. But if Erdogan pushes too hard in the Caucasus, and I think the red lines, the Russian red lines there, are very clear, then I think it's a completely different story. And I think we could very easily see a major intervention by the Russians in the Caucasus and in the Caspian Sea area and in all sorts of places.
I've got a question regarding that, if Russia does intervene. But first, let me just read you a quick sentence from Zero Hedge. It says, President Trump also weighed in, calling for an immediate halt to fighting and de-escalation of tensions. Congressional leaders have also condemned the violence. Representative Gottheimer, Josh Gottheimer, said, "I condemn Azerbaijan's reckless military attacks in the region. Azerbaijan should be held accountable for its aggressive actions, which undermine peace." It does seem that the majority of U.S. Politicians, senators, and congressmen, congresspeople have weighed in on the side of Armenia as well. It doesn't come as a surprise because there is a huge, huge Armenian, powerful and influential Armenian population in the United States as well. If Russia does intervene, is that the end of Erdogan?
Yes. I mean, if there's a war, that is the end of Erdogan. If the Russian military acts, then I don't see how Erdogan can survive that one. I mean, there are limits to what Turkey has a big military and, you know, some advanced military equipment. But in any conflict with Russia, I mean, the Turks would lose and lose very fast. I mean, they couldn't possibly withstand the Turkish military, the Russian military, which operates at many levels higher superiority than the Turkish military does. By the way, there have been many wars between Russia and Turkey. Since the early 18th century, the Russians have won every single one. The only exception was the Crimean War, where the Turks were bailed out by the French and the British. Nobody is going to bail out Erdogan this time if the issue is Armenia. Bear in mind exactly what you said. The United States and France, by the way, have very big Armenian communities. I mean, on a sort of trivial level, think of the Kardashians. I mean, you know, they're Armenians, but I mean, there are many, many Armenians, influential Armenians in the United States. There are many influential Armenians in France. Armenia has a lot of sympathy and a lot of understanding from many people. And by the way, if, you know, there will be some people in Russia who are pointing out that a war conducted by Russia against Turkey in order to save Armenia would be popular in Russia with a lot of people, but it would also probably enhance Russia's prestige. I mean, bear that in mind too. So Erdogan is alone in this one. He can't win. He has shown an ability to back off. As always, the Russians are giving him an off-ramp, not by talking to him directly, but by saying to the Azerbaijanians, you know, let's sit down, mediate, talk to each other. We will mediate between you. That is an off-ramp. And I think he will probably take it. But this is the most risky venture he has embarked on anywhere up to now. Syria was tricky, but he had the Americans behind him for a long time. Libya was even more tricky, but he was able to pull it off to a great extent. And then the Egyptians came in. The East Mediterranean hasn't worked out for him at all. The Caucasus could easily be a disaster.
You know, I wonder if Erdogan is just doing this for domestic consumption, in that he knows that he's going to back off, but this is just kind of for show, because he doesn't want maybe the media cycle domestically to say, okay, you went to Syria, lost. You went to Libya, you know, the Egyptians stopped you. East Med, you got nothing done. And now he's just, you know, shifting gears to Armenia, just so he can get like maybe a week or two of the attention away from what happened in Libya and the East Med, and now focused on Armenia. He can, you know, maybe get the media to say, oh, you know, look what Turkey did here with Azerbaijan. You know, we came, we supported them, the mighty Turkish military. The press runs with it for like a week, and it just kind of draws the attention away, kind of just, you know, just playing off these different regions and just moving from one to the next, these different countries and conflicts from one to the next, so he can just kind of prop up his domestic profile just a little bit as the country implodes economically.
This is exactly what he's doing. I mean, I am sure this is the primary calculation. I mean, he's an emotional man, and I think he does get, you know, pulled along by the excitement when he starts things. But then, as I said, he does tend to back off. The problem is, if you go on doing this too much, people begin to start to question. They begin to see through it. They say, well, you know, where is this great empire in Syria and Libya and Iraq and in the Eastern Mediterranean and in the Caucasus that you're promising us? All we say all the time is that you make a big noise and then you back off. So in the end, you can keep these things rolling for a while. But as I said, the point of does eventually come when people begin to start the question and perhaps even to get a bit bored and to say, you know, well, it's Erdogan up to something again. At the same time, with the Turkish economy now in a very bad way, and this crisis, this latest crisis, has hammered the lira in exactly the Turkish lira, the Turkish currency, in exactly the way you say. So it's going to make Turkey's economic situation even worse. It doesn't seem to me like a wise policy, a much better policy. I've said this so often, but, you know, Erdogan obviously operates to his own drum. A much wiser policy for Turkey is to go back to what Kemal Atatürk, Mustafa Kemal Atatürk, the father of the modern Turkish Republic, used to say, that Turkey should be at peace at home and at peace abroad and should seek good relations with all its neighbours. That's the correct policy for Turkey, so that it can carry on and sort out its pressing internal problems. These foreign adventures that Erdogan constantly indulges himself in, never get anywhere, are extremely dangerous, are bad for Turkey, and could very, very easily go wrong. If you want me to say, I think this is the single most dangerous one of all. Getting mixed up in the Caucasus, as I said, for the Russians, the sensitivity of this region to the Russians simply cannot be overstated. I mean, if they feel that there's a real risk to Armenia, if they feel that there's a real risk to their position in the Caucasus, they will respond, and they will respond massively. And, you know, the Russians often are, there's even an expression for this, they're often very slow to get on their horses, but when they do, they ride very fast. That is one of the iron rules of, military affairs and of Russian policy.
Very reckless, very reckless by Erdogan, Alexander. Yeah. And, I just have that feeling that when Russia wants to just pull the plug on Erdogan, they can do it, and he's toast. Yeah, that's the sense that I get. And maybe he's losing his mind. I don't know.
Well, maybe he is. I mean, he's edging closer to that point. You know, maybe at some psychological level, he would welcome it. You know, that this is the problem with Erdogan. He's a strange man. I don't want to, you know, turn too much into a, you know, mind reader. But, you know, I have sometimes wondered whether a person with Erdogan's vast sense of self-importance wouldn't find it easier to go down in flames as part of some disastrous and heroic adventure than lose an election and lose power because the lira has collapsed. I mean, you know, there is that sort of side to him. We'll see. Anyway, I think, as I said, he's just got enough sense of reality to understand that he's got to pull back again. But, I mean, he really is now venturing into the bear's den. And that is not wise.
And he's running out of countries.
He's running out of countries, yeah. And he's long since run out of friends.
All right. We'll leave it there, and we'll monitor this this story. Of course, we will monitor this. All right, Alexander, thank you very much. Guys, like this video. Click on that subscribe button. Hit that like. Drop us a comment down below. Please donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar. Your donation helps keep this channel up and running. And go to the Durant shop. Pick up some merch. We got all kinds of great stuff in our shop.
We certainly do.
Actually, I do have an enamel mug
with Armenia. There we go. That's the Armenian flag.
Because Greeks have a very close relation with Armenia as well.
So. Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, we were two of the Christian nations under the Ottomans. Of course, the Armenians had a terrible time under the Ottomans. You know, Greeks didn't have an easy time of it either. But of course, the Armenians had it on a horrendous scale. And Greeks are very, very aware of that. I mean, you know, we've always had this strong connection. I should just say, by the way, that though we are Christian peoples, their Christianity, the Armenian Christianity, is different in some ways from the Greek Orthodox one. It's a Coptic church. It's a monophysite church, not an Orthodox church. Just saying. But we always feel very close to them. And they, by the way, have always felt very close to us. Greeks and Armenians are very close. My brother goes to Armenia regularly. So there we go. But we've got lots of mugs with other flags too, not just the Armenian, obviously. We've got the United States. We've got Greece, which is the country I've just been mentioning. We've got, Russia. This is the, you know, the bear. And I think that's
Serbia.
Serbia, I was going to say, another country which has strong feelings about all of these issues, and which, by the way, is viscerally very much Armenia's friend. So, you know, anyway, but lots of mugs with lots of flags. The flag of your country will be there too. You know, if not now, then soon. Just wait a little. Our mugs are not the only things which have flags on. We also have hats with flags on, as you can see. And this one has the United Kingdom. And that's why my dog is so excited. He is
time
thrilled.
To go.
He is thrilled to see. No, he's thrilled to see. He's a British dog. He's thrilled to see the British flag. So that's what that's all about. Mishkin.
Well, we'll end it there. I think your dog is sending you a message. Guys, go to the Durant shop. You'll find the link in the description box down below. Alexander, you got to take your dog out for a walk, I imagine.
I certainly do. When he sees the hat on, he says that's what he's up to. That's what Alex
time
is
to go. To do. Time all to right. Go. All right, guys. Take care.